This episode is brought to you by Squarespace.
Whether you need a portfolio to showcase your work, store to sell your product, what's your product?
Oh, my product this week, my product is I'm getting into the artisan furniture business. I have built a credenza, just one. And
I would like you guys to know that he is absolutely making this up.
What?
There's no credenza in here.
It's a subtle credenza.
It's very small. Do you have a dollhouse that you've built this for?
Yes, but if you go to subtlecredenza.com, my Squarespace site, you can see every credenza that I've ever made, because that site doesn't exist and I've never made a credenza. But
Squarespace gave you everything you needed to, at least in your mind, make this website, subtlecredenza.com, including a free domain.
And I completely squandered all of Squarespace's gifts, but you won't. You will make a beautiful website. It'll take you no time at all. And you'll get 10% off your first purchase by going to squarespace.com and using the offer code SPILLED at checkout. I'm like the kid whose house you go to that always has the best stuff, right?
And I'm Molly. And this is Spilled Milk, the show where we cook something delicious, eat it all, and you can't have any.
And today we are talking about brown rice. And I don't think anyone's ever sounded more excited to talk about brown rice.
Oh, boy. Okay. Well, let's just launch right down the old memory lane.
Well, first, we should mention that we have a live show coming up.
Yeah, it's in Portland. Hey, Portland, Oregon, we're coming for you.
We're coming for your food trucks and your...
Can we go to Nong's Cowman Guy?
Yeah, that stuff's good.
Oh, I've never been there.
Oh, it's good. You put a lot of sauce on it. Because it's mild, but then you perk it up with
the sauce. I know.
So that show is at the Funhouse Lounge in Southeast Portland. It is on Thursday, May 18th, and it's relatively inexpensive. And we are going to be performing along with Look Inside This Book Club, my other podcast.
Co-hosted with Becky Salengut.
Two-time Spilled Milk guest. You can get tickets right now by going to bit.ly/milkpdx. That's MILKPDX, and do it now because tickets are going fast.
We'll see you out there.
All right, so let's get in on this brown rice wagon.
So I feel like, there was a period of time in my life when I pretty much only cooked brown rice.
No other foods.
No other foods. No, so okay, growing up, I don't really remember what kind of rice we had. I do remember once that my mom went to visit her sister in California and Trader Joe's had just started in California. And of course, we didn't have Trader Joe's in Oklahoma. And my mom came back with a bag of something called California Wild Rice Trilogy.
Oh, wow. That sounds good.
From Trader Joe's. And that, I hated it, by the way. I hated it. But that's the only rice I really remember from my childhood. I'm pretty sure there was also like Uncle Ben's or
something. Have you ever had a Wild Rice Trilogy?
Anyway, but then at some point, you know, I am one of those people who came of age in the like low-fat era. And I do remember like around the time that I was in high school, college, just out of college, early 20s, brown rice, I thought, why would I ever cook white rice again? Brown rice is healthier and I should only cook brown rice. So I would buy like brown basmati rice, brown sushi rice. Whenever I would go to like buy sushi at a grocery store, I would buy the brown rice sushi.
And how do you feel about that now, thinking back on it?
So the same way that there has been sort of a movement in recent years to embrace like flours made from different grains because of their flavor, not for their health reasons, I kind of feel like I've gotten away in general from eating food because it's supposed to be good for me. And I want to eat things because I want the way they taste. And so I don't buy brown rice that much because it just tastes so healthy.
Yeah, when you said flavored flours, flours with flavors.
Yeah,
What did you say? I think friend of the show, Alice Medrick, has a book called Flavor Flours.
She does. And it is supposed to be incredible. I don't have it yet.
So I kind of the same way, except for the part where I ate brown rice during the 80s, 90s. When was this? 80s or 90s?
This
both?
Would have been the late 90s, early 2000s. Okay. Yeah. I would say up through the mid 2000s.
So I have only come to appreciate it within the last few years.
Oh, my gosh. So we've like been in reverse.
We have been in reverse. You are my precise opposite.
It's true in so many ways.
Yes.
I go in, you go out.
You, like, genital wise?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I can't argue with that. I don't. You see, you just did it to me again.
Now you're blushing. Now you can't even talk to me because I happen to mention that I have female genitalia. It's like you didn't know this
so
before.
So predictable.
God. Okay. Okay.
It's
talk
one
about
thing
parameters.
To know it in principle.
But for me to actually admit it.
For you to actually whip Woo! Out that fact.
I didn't whip it out, though. I just whipped out the fact.
Whip out the fact.
Go on.
So I think I generally when I eat brown rice these days, I will do it at my local Korean fast food place, Omabop, where they have three different choices of rice for their bibimbap. You can get white rice, brown rice, or multigrain rice, and they're all good.
Really? But doesn't the brown rice and the multigrain rice, doesn't it just make you feel like, wow, this is really healthy?
No.
Do you find that the flavor takes over the other flavors?
No, because I think bibimbap is such a full-flavored dish that it can stand up to the brown rice without being subsumed in that way.
Wow. Okay.
That's what I think.
Huh. Well, that I really like hearing this because I think that there's a part of me that really kind of swung away from brown rice. At a certain point, it felt emblematic of like a preoccupation with health, I think, for me.
I understand what you're saying, and definitely like the low fat era that you described, like aside from eras that had like a mass extinction event or a world war, that was a pretty low point era wise.
Very low point era wise.
I think brown rice is often undercooked.
You think so?
I do. Because I think when you get it and you're like one of the things that makes the seem like the flavor takes over everything, I think, is when you like chew it and you like have finished chewing up all the other stuff that was on top of it. And all you've got left is like these husks that you're chewing. I know it's not literally husks, but
I mean, like I have definitely had undercooked rice where the center is kind of still a little hard and chewy. And I don't think that's been the issue for me with brown rice.
Okay.
Anyway, I have been sort of opting for white rice over brown rice for a while, but I think that, I don't know, maybe I overcorrected a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to consider the context. You have to read the context clues.
Thanks.
When did people start saying context clues? That was not a thing anyone said.
Was it a part of Blue's Clues?
I have seen Blue's Clues. I know, like, there was a time when, like, everyone had a crush on Steve from Blue's Clues.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean,
he was like a cute, harmless guy kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking as a cute, harmless guy, like that made me very happy.
Yeah, I can see why.
What happened on Blue's Clues? Have you seen it?
I don't know. I've never seen it.
What kid shows are you stuck watching since you have a toddler?
June has been into Daniel Tiger since she turned two and started regularly watching shows. Daniel Tiger has been a big one.
What kind of life lessons does Daniel Tiger teach?
Shall I sing?
Oh, yes, please.
If you have to go potty, stop and go right away.
That's a good
Flush
lesson.
Flush and wash and be on your way. And then there's also, this one is really kind of heartbreaking. Grown-ups come back.
Oh, my God.
Thank you.
I think I'm going to cry.
I've got more.
I have a question and then I do want to hear more. During the potty scene, is there like a scene of a tiger pooping?
No. Okay. He uses the toilet. We don't see anything.
Wait, you say he uses the toilet as like, and that's
instead of pooping? Well, he also walks on 2 feet.
Okay.
Yeah. No, we wouldn't just see. I don't know. No,
I don't mean like in does a bear shit in the woods sense. Is that a thing that happens on the show? Sing more songs.
Okay, great. When you're feeling frustrated, take a step.
Okay.
Hold on. Uh-huh. Take a step back and ask for help.
You mean like sexually frustrated?
Hold on, I've got another one.
Okay, yeah.
Clean up, pick up, put away, clean up every day.
How is that lesson sinking in? If I played that song for my kid, would she ever pick anything up? I'm going to try it.
Yeah,
I've tried
it.
Everything else.
I know so many more Daniel Tiger songs, but I'm going to stop there.
Okay.
Yeah.
I could kind of get into this. Now, I know we might get back to talking about brown rice, or we might not, but I have another question about a kid show.
Yeah.
I know your child is a fan of Peppa Pig.
Oh, yeah. We're going on holiday.
It's a show about a very proper pig, I guess. I think I saw like a few minutes of it recently. I noticed...
Daddy Pig.
this sounds like...
Hello, Susie Sheep.
This is sounding like some sort of...
Madam Gazelle, may I use the loo?
Is that an actual line for Peppa Pig, Madam Gazelle, may I use the loo?
No, but the Madam Gazelle part is.
Yeah. Do they have songs on that show?
Yeah, I think they do have songs they sing, but it's not nearly as catchy or like life lesson-y.
My question is...
We're jumping in muddy puddles.
God, kids love puddles so much. I was having this conversation while you pull yourself together. I was having this conversation recently with a mother of like a 2-year-old, and saying like puddles are something that every kid loves and no adult.
That is correct. Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Squarespace.
Squarespace makes it so easy to make a beautiful website. We've done so many Squarespace ads. I don't know how to further emphasize for you listeners who don't get it yet that Squarespace makes a beautiful website just magically appear on your computer, pretty much.
Well, I mean, you still have to...
Am I overselling it?
You have to sort of pour yourself into it, but there is no easier way to take what's in your mind and in your heart and turn it into a beautiful website that looks great on your smartphone, mm-hmm. on your tablet, on your computer, on your big screen computer.
you add and arrange content and features with the click of a mouse, and there's nothing to like install, patch, upgrade.
Nope.
Ever. That's
never.
Like magical.
No, my Squarespace website, it's out there in the world. It's doing its magic. I don't have to do anything. I have like an event page on my Squarespace site that when I have an upcoming event, like I'm going to appear in public and one of my rare public appearances.
Yes.
I can just, it takes like half a minute to go and update the event calendar.
So awesome. And if you do run into a problem, they've got a 24/7 like support team in place. It's like your own IT department. I'm so eloquent.
It's not even like a support team. It is literally a support team.
This is amazing.
They support me in everything. No one has ever been more supportive to me than Squarespace's IT department.
So if you'd like to get involved with Squarespace, get some support. Yeah. You go to squarespace.com today and you enter the offer code SPILLED to get 10% off your first purchase.
That's SPILLED, SPILLED.
I think that we should get back to like...
Talking about the topic of the show? No.
Okay.
No, wait, wait. I never got to my question about Peppa Pig.
Fine.
I noticed when I was downtown the other day that they are doing Peppa Pig Live at the Paramount Theater. Are you taking June to Peppa Pig Live? And what do you think happens there?
I didn't know about this.
Oh, I think it's next month.
I'm going to look it up.
Okay.
Oh, thanks for the tip.
Okay. Well, if you do take her, be sure and tell her that I told you about it.
Okay. Okay, great. All right. So one other thing that I do remember doing with brown rice, and I think this was like, so I definitely am a pro cottage cheese kind of person.
I am anti.
I think cottage cheese is kind of like really weird, but so tasty.
This is just another way in which we weird. Are opposites.
Okay. Anyway, I remember once I was hungry and I had some leftover brown rice in the fridge. This would have been like in college or something. And I had some cottage cheese and I warmed up the brown rice and I put a spoonful of cottage cheese on it and I stirred it in and the cottage cheese got this like wonderful, like, and this was like full fat cottage cheese. It got this wonderful, like rich, cheesy flavor. It was delicious. I cannot believe how good this was.
What made you think this was going to be a good idea?
I don't know. I think I was, I just thought it seemed healthy. God, isn't that sad?
However, it turned out to be tasty.
Delicious. Okay. It was actually delicious.
I don't like cottage cheese, so I'm not going to try this, but I'm sure we have listeners who do.
Yeah. No, they're going to, it's so delicious.
There's a dish at, served at Lark, local Seattle restaurant, Lark, seasonal, local, mm-hmm.
Keep going.
That's farro, the like Italian wheat berry-ish thing, served with creme fraiche. Like kind of stirred in so it gets creamy.
Oh, I think I've had it, maybe.
It's, yeah, it's good. And it's not that different an experience from brown rice in the sense that it's a rice-ish shaped whole grain.
Right.
And so I think that I'm imagining that this is sort of an upscale echo of your.
Why does farro sound just like exotic and delicious?
Because it's an Italian word.
Oh, you're right. Like, so if we called brown rice like riso. Bruno or something?
Riso Bruno, yeah. we called it The Return of Bruno.
Oh, Riso Bruno.
Bruce Willis's album.
Okay.
Do you remember that Bruce Willis album where he sang songs?
No.
This was a thing that happened.
Okay. Well, so let's talk about...
During the low-fat era.
So do you ever cook brown rice now?
Well, I did today.
Yeah, and what? How did you choose the brown rice that you cooked for us?
So I went to Wajimaya, a Japanese supermarket in Seattle, and they had a lot of brown rices to choose from, most of which were in 5-pound bags, which I knew would take me a long time to get through. Mm-hmm. So I got one that was available in a smaller bag, and it's sprouted brown rice, which is a
thing. Does it look any different?
It doesn't, and it doesn't really taste different either.
Is it supposed to be more nutritious?
I think it's supposed
something?
To be more nutritious, like the sprouting unlocks, like... some special fatty acids and omega-3s and stuff.
Does that just mean that it was, like, soaked?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it is supposedly cooks a little faster and cooks up a little softer than non-sprouted brown rice.
Hmm. It didn't seem... I noticed a difference.
But I thought it was really tasty. I think I gravitate towards short grain brown rice. There's a few different kinds of brown rice.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I used to buy brown basmati rice a decent amount, and I think I mentioned brown sushi rice. Brown basmati is, I don't know, I think it's really lovely because it's got that aroma that you get with basmati rice and also the nuttiness of brown rice.
Yeah.
Hey, what is brown rice anyway?
Okay, so I know this one. Brown rice is rice that has the husk removed but not the bran or the germ.
Okay.
So the bran and the germ is a little bit at the tip and then the bran is the inner coating inside the husk but outside the... other stuff.
Cool.
The white stuff.
So if I were to buy brown basmati rice, I'm basically buying basmati rice that still has like the husk and some other part on it.
The husk. The husk is inedible.
Okay, sorry. That still has the bran.
The bran and the germ.
And the germ.
Endosperm? Is that the other part? I think it's
endosperm.
I feel
like it may be endosperm. God, wow.
Yeah.
I just love these words. Brand, germ, endosperm.
Copyright Daniel Tiger.
Okay. So you wrote down on our list here, haiga.
Yeah, which is, I feel like it's been sort of an up and coming rice for a few years. I've seen it on menus. I think they serve it at Lionhead. Jerry Traunfeld's Chinese restaurant in Seattle.
Is it like indigenous to a certain?
No.
Is that the right word? Indigenous to a certain cuisine or culture?
I'll accept it.
Great, thank you.
Haiga rice is rice that has had the husk and the bran removed, but not the germ. So it has like a little nublet of whole grain stuff at the end of the kernel, but otherwise cooks kind of like white rice.
Does it look like white rice with just a little fleck of darker stuff at one end?
I think of it as kind of like one of these ways to like eat something and convince yourself you're being healthy, like a white whole wheat flour.
Yes. Yeah.
That's the other thing that came to mind. And it's good. It's I don't know that I can really say like when I would choose it over brown rice or white rice.
Yeah. Okay. Huh, that's really interesting. Wow. Okay.
And I didn't get some today because the minimum amount I could get was 5 pounds.
So when you go to have bibimbap and you choose brown rice, are you choosing it because you want the flavor of it in that particular case? Are there other situations where you choose brown rice?
I will sometimes choose brown rice for making fried rice.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's anyone else in my family's favorite, but when brown rice, the kernels separate a lot more easily in general, I think, than white rice. And that makes it good for fried rice. And since you're going to be kicking it up with all sorts of other flavors,
yeah,
like Emerald does. Does Emerald say kick it up?
He kicks it up a notch, actually.
Yeah, right, right. Mm-hmm. You'll be kicking it up a notch or three.
Yeah.
It can stand up to that, and you can get a little char on it from the wok.
Ooh.
A little char on it from the wok.
And the breath of the wok.
Yes.
It brings it to life.
What is that accent?
I don't know.
Let's not talk about it.
Okay, so one more quick question. So when you're cooking brown rice, like I remember people... Sorry, I just... dinged my water
dinner
bottle.
Time? are you about to rise to your feet and make a toast?
I remember there being sort of like this, I think, apocryphal idea that brown rice takes forever to cook. Is this true?
It takes much longer.
Really?
I mean, it takes like twice as long.
So do you have to use like twice? So if you're cooking a cup of brown rice.
Uh-huh. And it takes more water.
And do you just follow whatever's on the bag, in, like quantity of water wise?
In this case, I Googled it and found that for short grain brown rice, like 1.5 to 1 works pretty well. In a rice cooker. If you're doing it in a pot, you need more water because it's not as airtight.
Okay. Whereas like if I'm doing Calrose rice in a rice cooker, I do 1 to 1 1/3.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
My rice cooker has a brown rice setting, but it said not to use it for sprouted rice, and it came out fine. I did not use the brown rice setting. So
interesting.
Have you ever dinged a glass like you just did and given a toast or a speech and like got people's attention by dinging a glass?
I don't think so, though. I've attended a number of weddings where people have done that.
Every time, like I've never done it, and I feel like I can't explain why this is exactly, but I have like an instinctive feeling like whenever anyone does that, well, that person's a jackass.
It does seem like, look at me. Look at me.
Yeah, even though I know that's what they're supposed to be doing. It's like a gentle way to get people's attention. And then, you know, someone has to give the toast at this wedding or whatever. But I don't know, maybe they could like play an air horn sound on their phone or something.
Wow, that would be so much more subtle.
Yeah. Well, I mean, subtlety is what I was raised with and what I'm all about today.
Am I touching your knee with my knee?
Oh, yeah. I thought that was your dog.
No, that's my knee. Hello. Hey, so I don't think I have anything else to contribute about brown rice, but I would like to. I think I'm going to eat some more brown rice.
I think I am too, because I'm hungry.
And I think I'm going to put some soy sauce on it.
Oh, that sounds good.
Maybe, unless you have any other ideas. What do you like to put on top of brown rice?
Well, today we had it with some leftover carnitas from last night's tacos.
That's
which was
cool.
Great. I don't know. Like, I don't think there's necessarily like a big divide between things you would put on brown rice versus white rice, except that like if it's something really subtle, I think white rice is going to bring that out more and not overpower it.
My college, my senior year of college, my best friend Keaton was my roommate, and we lived in like an apartment on campus, and her sort of like go-to comfort meal was a bowl of white rice, and she would crumble up nori on it, and slice some avocado onto it, and I think a little bit of soy sauce, and that was like her comfort food.
Was this in California?
This was in California. Doesn't this sound so California comfort food?
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm kind of thinking that I think that if you're going to do it, you should maybe try it with brown rice, because I think while the sweetness of the white rice would be really nice with the nori and the avocado, I think brown rice could be really good there.
I think it could too.
So if you have any thoughts for us on brown rice, you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/spilledmilkpodcast.
Uh-huh. Yeah. If you want to get our attention there, just ding a glass. You can find us online at spilledmilkpodcast.com, where we'll post like a picture of some brown rice that I made.
Yeah, cool.
I'll post a picture of this bag. I think this stuff is quite good that I bought. It's it's short grain, Japanese style brown sprouted brown rice. I recommend it.
And again, we have a live show coming up in Portland on May 18th, and you can buy tickets at
bit.ly/milkpdx.
Yeah, yeah.
We are going to milk Portland for all of the comedy that Portlandia didn't get to first. You can leave us a review on iTunes. And until next time, thank you for listening to Spilled Milk.
You know, if you're feeling really antsy waiting for the next episode,
which I am,
just remember, when you wait, you can play, sing, or imagine anything.
Or you can just like ask your parent for their phone, right?
I'm Molly Weisenberg.
And I'm Matthew Hamster Burton.
Ooh, it smells good. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Mmm. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Grate some cheese on this. What if the Def Leppard song were not Pour Some Sugar on Me, but Grate Some Cheese on Me? Grate some cheese on me.